Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Solak and Bertrand. Bruins game day on your home of the bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You just perked up hearing this, huh?
I did. It reminds you, it's Thursday.
Thursday. Hey. Oh.
Starting to get the disc weather. Right, Hardy?
Ooh. Nice. Somebody mentioned this song the other day, how it seemed like that time of year. Yeah. Yeah. If you were here, instead of playing icy skates down at the garden, I don't know that we can tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be heavy rains.
Yeah, squall.
Heavy rains, driving winds.
Nor'easter.
Nor'easter on the way. If you're in a coastal community, you might want to evacuate.
You don't want to get the disc wet.
You can, but, I mean, it's today's the day.
Yeah, you get angry when it gets wet.
Today.
I saw that. They're asking people to evacuate down on the South Shore. Situate, Duxbury, down that way. Already dealing with that.
Doesn't T-Bone have a wedding this weekend?
He's away. He's in Canada.
Oh, okay. Loser. He's far away. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't know what's going to do up there.
He's in Canada.
I mean, if we're getting a snow, I mean, it's got to be coming.
I don't think
somewhere.
It's going to be much of a snow event.
Well, I mean,
I don't think it's going to
be a
big snowstorm.
A little white.
Looks like a lot of rain, a lot of flooding, a lot of coastal implications. Angry sea.
It's so nice out today. It's like you can't believe it's
gorgeous,
like snow
out there today.
It's just unreal.
Gorgeous. I want to get to a couple Patriots items because there are some news reports related to a couple of off-season items for the Patriots, both coming from the Twitter account of one Jeff Howe, at Jeff P. Howe on Twitter.
And he is at the Combine currently.
He writes this. He reports, Nate Solder does indeed plan to continue playing football, per sources. There had been speculation over a potential retirement. Negotiations with the Patriots haven't started yet, but he's got a couple of weeks before free agency.
I think that's your number one off-season need. Right there. Get that guy done.
That's good news for the Patriots.
Yep. Watched that Super Bowl again with my dad the other day, and he played his tail off.
Great game.
I mean, that front four, the way they neutralized that front four, and then the way it ends, just one freaking hand getting in there to knock the ball out. They were great. 59 and a half minutes. Great. It wasn't even that bad of a miss. Mason had him, too. Boy, he had him. Scar did a good job. The fact Scar is coming back, and if you could get this guy signed up, convince him to finish his career. You started here. We want you to finish it here. That's your number one priority in the offseason, getting that guy done.
So that has been reported. That's good news. I don't think he's going to go hit the market and shop for a new team.
You never know.
I don't see that happening.
There's other takers out there. I mean, he's huge. 6'8", you know, that tall. The way he played this year, the way he was healthy. There could be a taker on him.
No, he's going to go to the Patriots. He's going to say, I want to keep playing.
Let's cut a deal.
Let's cut a deal.
I agree.
Pay me fairly, and I'll come back and keep doing this. And they're going to say, okay, what are our other options?
Yep. And without getting into his personal life, I think it makes sense for everybody.
Of course it does.
Right.
For all the considerations
Absolutely.
Here. And I don't think they'll jerk him around or anything.
I think they'll actually take care of him.
He'll get taken care of. He'll get a good contract.
And he played at a high level.
They need him.
Yep.
That's one item. Here's another one. Danny Amendola's market is heating up. Jeff Howe writes on Twitter, wouldn't be surprised if he landed between $3 and $5 million annually. The Patriots will have to make a competitive offer.
Ouch. What do you view him as, number wise, per year?
Not 3 to 5 million.
I got him 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, I'd like to keep him under 3.
Considering, and I know it's not a ton of numbers as far as he doesn't catch 95 balls, 100 balls, the magnitude of his catches. Go back to even if last fourth down, at last gasp. Brady's coming out of the huddle. He's whispering to him, I'm coming to you. Like, he's got his guys. You need to keep the guys that this quarterback trusts and is actually going to put in the time and the work ethic. And I think Amendola has proven he could do that. I think he's actually earned it. He's clutch.
Well, he keeps taking pay cuts.
I know. And then plus, you got Edelman coming back who's going to be completely healthy, it looks like. But, you know, knock on wood, you never know. You never know. It's a good backup plan to Julian. It's a deal worth getting done. Those are pretty good needs right there, though.
Yeah, don't you just think at some point, like at some point he says, you know what? Enough of this. I'm going to make some money. I'm going out there. I'm going to get paid.
Not unless you're comfortable and you like it. And you like working with Brady. And you like the Josh state. See, that's a whole other thing that's keeping this thing together. Okay, McDaniels is back. He knows what I think of him and what he thinks of me. And, you know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? You going to go to Houston?
Like his cap hit last year was $3 million. And the cash out was 1.7-ish.
See, the way that I've been told, and from people that I know that talk to me about Amendola.
Yeah, 1 year, 1.7.
He's sort of been on the back end of a pitch count, so to speak. He can't go, I think, to another team and play 16 games and give you 90 catches. Like, say Houston's interested and Billy wants to go to that slot guy to help Deshaun Watson out.
Yep.
That's a hell of a pickup for him. But I don't think Danny can do that for 16 games. See, I think there are stretches he can do it. There's no doubt about it. I know he can play. That's not the question.
Man, he has not made a ton of money here. He made a lot of money in year one. He made 8.4, then it was 3.5. Last three seasons, 2.4, 1.5, 1.7.
But boy, if he's not having fun, if he's not having fun in that environment, it's just so bad.
Like, you blame him if someone's like, hey, we're going to
give
you $5
million. So toxic down there, go hit the road.
No, but if someone says, hey, we're going to give you $5 million guaranteed on a two-year deal, what do you want? If I'm him, I'm like, you know what? This has been awesome, but.
So you're saying like the Welker deal at the end where it was 2 for $6.
Sure.
And then he hit, yeah.
How do you blame him? But he's just so damn important during the playoffs.
$2 and $5 million.
End of games, end of seasons.
Give it the Welker deal. $2 and $6 million. Now he's a flight risk. Now you really got to make a decision. What do we do? Do you feel that great about Malcolm Mitchell's knee? Hey, how's Brandon Cooks look?
I don't think they're going
to be. How's Brandon Cooks look in
space?
I just
don't see the Patriots being able to give Danny Amendola a lot of money.
Think about it. You're Josh McDaniels. Ultimately, you potentially are probably going to be the next head coach here. But more importantly, it's the ability to win now, these next 2 years. Throwing the ball to number 80 in space over the middle of the field or number 14, which one do you feel better about? And I'm not comparing Amendola to Cooks. You need football players. You need smart guys. You need guys that know where Brady wants you to be, how I'm going to catch the ball, how I'm going to take a hit, and how I'm going to get down. We talk about it with Gronkowski, spacing, right? And I think there's an element of trust with Hogan. That isn't over the middle. I think it's in a perimeter to the outside. What's Mitchell going to be like? See, I like Brandon Cooks. I want to see Brandon Cooks in a perfect situation where, you know, you're going to be Dante Stallworth. You're the fourth guy here, not the second or third. That's all. Get some ducks in line here. Let's go.
617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. We got Billy Jaffe coming up in a few short minutes, as well as Bruins defenseman Torey Krug.
Of the hockey universe, it's Zolak and Bertrand. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from our Star Market broadcast studio at TD Garden. Billy Jaffe is with us. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Beetle.
Great to see you.
Hi, Bill.
Awesome to see you, too. Zo, what's up?
How you doing, pal?
I'm great. You got your...
You got a good game tonight?
Got your Miami glasses on right now.
You got the tan going?
You got the tan going?
Yeah.
Are you done?
I had something to talk to you about. This is going to annoy me now. You ever have something where you're like, oh, I got to mention something to...
Yeah.
I have something for you, and I can't remember what it is. Hmm. I'm like, I got to mention that to Billy.
Oh, I know what it is.
You do?
Yeah, we got to go to Torey Krug right now.
No, that's not what it is.
Sure?
We're going to go to Krug.
Okay.
This is going to bother me.
Write it down when it happens next time.
I know. Let's go to Torey Krug. Bruins defenseman joins us right now on the expert hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Torey.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Big one tonight? Huh? What do you got? I'm going to do this with Brad Stevens. I do this with Brad Stevens. We're bringing him. Hey, coach, get ready for the big game tonight?
Yeah, no, it's an exciting game tonight for sure. Great task for us, a great team coming into our building, and definitely a good one to get up for.
I was actually joking about that. Let's talk about Nash. How surprised were you when the deal got done that you actually added this type of piece to your team?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's. I was excited because I didn't have to play against him anymore. He's a very tough guy to play against. Big body, protects the puck well. He skates like the wind, and he's got a great scoring touch. So definitely excited, I think, was more the word for everyone in our group. And, you know, I think it's exciting to get Kretch, a big winger, back and let him do his thing.
And I only say that because we've talked to you over the last couple of weeks and, you know, the potential of adding a piece, and other people have commented, Coach, you know, sometimes you don't really want to disrupt something that's good or going on as far as chemistry, but seems like it's somewhat seamless for this guy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if you look at all the pieces they've added, you know, you got Holden, Gianta, Wingles, and Nasher, you know, they're all guys that have played for winning organizations, and in their own respects, they've been leaders on their teams. So they're obviously players that are well respected around the league and within their organizations, and they all know how to win at a certain level. So it's all been guys that have fit well into this locker room.
All right, a couple of things that people have talked about in recent days that only a player on the team could answer for us. Number one, is it a boost when you have your GM making a deal like this and saying after the fact something along the lines of, this team deserved this because the team is good and the team is going to compete at a high level come playoff time? Is that a boost to have your GM say things like that and back it up with the move like Rick Nash?
Yeah, it's definitely a boost because, you know, especially if you look back at the start of the year, I don't think anyone had us pegged to be the team that we are. And I think, you know, even the comments from, you know, people within our organization, it was that we're going to deal with the growing pains and of a young group that we have. And we definitely have gone through it. And, you know, even right now, we're still, you know, not thrilled with where our game's at, but we're going to keep continuing to grow and develop as a group and let our new guys fit into the roles that they're going to get accustomed to. But it definitely does, you know, give us a boost and say, hey, you know, everyone believes in us and what we're doing. And it's, you know, a pat on the back for what we've done so far. And hopefully we continue this.
And then the other side that some people have said, no one on this show, but in other places, Twitter, fans, whatever, is that, well, you don't want to make a big move because it could disrupt the chemistry. Do you see Rick Nash in any way disrupting your chemistry or any of the guys that have been brought in any way disrupting what you've got going on?
No, not at all. And that's kind of why I brought up what I did about the type of people that they are and where they come from. You know, they're all great guys and they're all well respected within, you know, the league, and they're all tough guys to play against, and they all fit in, you know, really well within our locker room. I think we have a good mix of older guys that are, you know, have been established in this league and have a great resume, and then a good mix of younger guys that are trying to prove themselves to continue that. So they all fit in very well, and you know, hopefully we can you know, continue that and make sure that they feel at home and they can just play it up to their standards.
Torrey, you know, we're able to nitpick throughout the season because it's what we do, right, in the media. But you guys run such a roll, right, so from mid-November until early February. You lost three games in regulation, by far, you know, the hottest team in the NHL. I mean, you're 5-4 in your last nine games, so it's not bad. It's just, but is there a different vibe? Is there a different feel of, all right, you know, we almost, I don't want to say expected, but we accept that we couldn't keep up the pace where we're at before, and where, what's the feel of the team right now from inside the room?
Yeah, well, look, obviously we knew, you know, there's not many teams in the world in any sport that could keep up with the pace that, you know, that we were on, and we knew it was going to come to an end, but we tried to ride it as long as we could, and we obviously did. There were a few wins there that I think we got away with some things, and you know, our game wasn't perfect. We always strive for perfection, but we couldn't you know, sustain that. So it, obviously, you know, right now we're trying to figure that out, and we have some new pieces. There's a little bit of uncertainty of, you know, what guys are going to play where and what our lineup's going to look like. Obviously, with the, you know, a couple injured guys out of the lineup, it's you know, it's a tough time for us, especially with the new bodies and they're trying to fit in. And obviously, we got to, you know, just get back to playing our game and finding our identity. And you know, I think we're getting there. We're working on it every single day. We're obviously watching video. We're practicing hard, and we'll get there.
Speaking of watching video and practicing hard, I know the other day and today you work in the power play. It's something that's been struggling lately. All I got to do is look at the numbers. 0 for 18 in your last six games. For somebody like yourself, Torrey, who is so impactful on the power play and so important to the power play success for the whole thing. I know it's a team sport, but for your unit, how personally do you take the, and again, I understand it's five guys on the ice, but, do you take that personally when the power play, does that bother you even more when it isn't successful?
Well, I do, yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it's something that, ever since I showed up in the playoffs in 2013, it's something I've taken a lot of pride in, and being part of a group or a unit that has turned around the power play, because, for a while, the Boston Bruins didn't really have much of that. So, and now we've fallen into a little funk. And look, we have some interchangeable parts and some guys that have left our team. Spooner was a big part of our group, and Bergie's missing in the bumper right now. And I know we went on a little bit of a cold streak before those guys were gone, but right now we just got to find our way. And I think we got to break it down and just be real simple. And look, we have five guys, there are four on the ice. And if we're not outworking them, we're not willing to put in the work, then, we're probably not going to end up scoring a goal. So I think right now, if we're just getting back to the mentality that if the puck's not moving, then our feet are moving. And, we'll find a way to put the puck in the net. We got to reward those big guys. Like, now we have Nash and Backes that are playing in the slot. So it's up to myself, Pasta, and Marchand to get the puck in there and let them do the work.
We're talking with Bruins defenseman Torrey Krug, and obviously a lot of changes, but this is now the home stretch. Does it feel like, the end of the regular season is somewhat in sight, despite the schedule that you guys got in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I know we always talk about the trade deadline, and that's a big part of the season, and people want to know if we're going for it or not. And our goal every night is to win the hockey game that's right in front of us. And that's the way we're looking at it tonight. And we'll look at that all of March. It's a tough stretch for us. And we can't look ahead at the playoffs or anything like that because nothing's guaranteed. And we're just going to continue to work and try and perfect our game, knowing that, we're never going to reach it. But we're going to try and get, as close as we can to it. And, every day is another chance to win a game and move up in the standings. And we have some games in hand on the teams that are in front of us. And we're trying to win those and collect those points and jump them. So it's definitely a tough schedule ahead, and we're not going to look too far, in the near future, but just take it day by day.
From a confidence standpoint, and sort of what Billy was talking about earlier, it feels different, it seems different this year, that whether it's a back-to-back or the other night, say you get off to a slow start, that, it's just our night. It's not our night tonight. The next thing you know, you're down 4-1 and you lose that type of game. You guys seem to have that ability to – I won't say flip the switch, but that's what it is. And it's just, you pick up that pace. Does it feel that way this year as opposed to other years that's different? And if so, why?
It does. And I think, that's a dangerous trait to have because, maybe some games you don't get too excited to play and then all of a sudden you find you're down 2-0 and it's a wake-up call. And we know that we can come back from any deficit. So it's definitely a dangerous trait to have. But knowing that, look, I'm sure, once we do get to playoffs, there will be a game where we're down, 1-0, 2-0. We're going to have to climb our way back into the game. And knowing that we have the ability to do that, we'll be excited about that. But for sure now, we feel that we can win every game. Our goaltenders are doing a great job of giving us a chance to win every game. And then, if we do go down and, we have the group in there that can score a lot of goals, we can win a bunch of different ways, whether it's 6-5 or 2-1 or 1-0. There's not a way that this team can't win. So, we're excited about any challenge that lays ahead of us, and we just try to approach it that way.
Torrey, earlier in the interview, you mentioned about just the new guys and fitting in beautifully, and I agree. I mean, they all have the type of personalities that seem to mesh with you guys. But when you see a guy like Wingles get rewarded in his first game, in a long 82-game season, isn't it moments like that, that you need a spark every once in a while, and now all of a sudden you've kind of got that purpose where – this guy's making his home debut, literally flew in the morning from Chicago, and all of a sudden he's become one of the focal points or the stars of the game.
Yeah, it's exciting to see. I think he's a Bruins type of player, guys that I think the fans will will love here. And, you know, he was one of those guys that you just hated to play against. He showed up and, you know, guys were excited. It definitely gave us a boost when you see him, especially it was such a hardworking play on his assist on Riley Nashville.
Yes.
To end that first period. It gave us a boost going in the second because, you know, we were not thrilled at all with where our game was, and we heard about it too. So, you know, for him to do that, that was a big moment in the game. And then he comes out in the second period and he scores a big goal for us. So you see guys that I think they're excited for a fresh start. They're excited to come to not only a great city, but a great sports town and a great organization. So they're excited about the clean slate, and you see them get off to a good start. You just, you know, hope it continues for them, and just try to embrace them and the style of play that they have. And I think, you know, the fans will be excited to see guys like him.
Torrey Krug and the Bruins in action tonight at the Garden, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Torrey, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you, man.
Torrey Krug. On the expert hotline.
He turned left.
Zolak
right?
And Bertrand. I don't know.
That turns
definitely
was,
in the car.
Maybe it was the flashers too. Maybe he had enough class to pull over and say, "You know what? I'm going to do a nice interview with these guys. I'm going to put the."
Well, he's like that.
I put the quads on.
He's like that. A few lineup notes for tonight as
Ooh.
We get into things.
You know, why don't you save that?
Yeah, why don't you tease it?
Why don't you save that for the
big
other
ones
side?
Are a little
because we're running a couple minutes late there.
I call them interesting.
Interesting. Ooh. We break down Bruins That's lines with Jaffe for. Right after these headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Oh, I got those lineup adjustments right now. Should I? No, I'll let Billy Jaffe tell you all about it as the Bruins take on the Penguins tonight. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers get us going at 6:30 with the pregame, and then puck drops just after 7 o'clock right here on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 the Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Celtics with another big win last night. Decisive victory over Charlotte, 134-106. 7 players in double figures. Saturday night, they got a big test coming up as they hit the game for a road trip, starting in Houston against the Rockets. Once again, that's on Saturday night. Red Sox with a win over Pittsburgh yesterday, making their spring training record 6-1 so far. 4-3 over the Pirates in Fort Myers. Rick Porcello making his spring training debut today against Houston. That game is in West Palm Beach. Headlines. Are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage business and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Bruins game day on your home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Conan. Billy Jaffe's with us. Star Market Broadcast Studio.
Should never say anything.
What?
Talk about Earl Campbell during the break.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other day we had mentioned Earl Campbell. I mean,
football was football.
Right.
And so I'm going to do it for you because I don't think you heard this conversation.
I did.
So we're going to take a quick 30-second trip down memory lane for the both of you because you both loved Earl Campbell as a player.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I
mean, how could you not?
Oh, God, because he beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but, I mean, you respect him.
I mean, I think he was one of the best running backs ever.
Right. I mean, I anyone that watched him play, and I didn't, but I know that from anyone who did and watch football in that era, they all say Earl Campbell was one of the best they've ever seen.
Plus, he owns a rib joint, which I think is pretty cool, too.
His carries by year, he didn't have the longest career, and we were talking about it because of Gronk.
Right.
Now, this is in a different era, okay? 78 through 85. Carries per season, 302, 368, 373, 361, 157 because he got hurt, 322, and then at the end he tailed off, 146, 158. But that is 4 straight 300-carry-plus seasons to start, and 5 out of his first 6 years in the league, he carried the ball more than 300 times. 3 times in there, he carried more than 350 times, and that was in an era when you got crushed on every play.
And I'm going to tell you, it's more impressive what he did during his time than you watch some of these running backs now. I mean, the surfaces. Do you understand the surfaces?
Oh, that's stupid.
Like, for anybody that's got a grandmother,
carpet.
It's got a cement little porch in the back that she throws a rug from Home Depot on, and that's how hard and how sandpaper-like these surfaces were. These he's wearing these things we would call wet rats at the time, and it's a turf shoe, like Apex One turf shoe. They were made of paper, and they got these little nubs on the bottom, and your foot sticks, and you're lucky you don't rip your knee out, rip your knee up every time you make a damn cut. But look at the size of his legs and these teams he's playing. Like,
told you,
the Raiders then, the Pittsburgh Steelers then, and that defense that they had. I mean, the size of his pads.
Supposedly his legs measured 34 inches.
Like my head.
In the thigh.
Yeah.
Each thigh. That's each thigh.
There's only
two other
backs. I don't
know if that seems right.
There's only two other backs that look to have his type of legs. One guy was Anderson that played for the Giants. That I think it was OJ, right?
Yeah.
OJ Anderson.
Yeah.
They won a Super Bowl with him. And Christian Okoye. That's it. The Nigerian nightmare.
So, I mean, there have been a lot of guys since then that have racked up a lot of 300-plus yard, excuse me, 300 carry seasons.
Yeah.
And you think of the big, the big bruising type of backs, like Jerome Bettis did it, I think, 5 or 6 times. Okay, and that's one of the bigger guys that can kind of take the beating. Corey Dillon did it, I think, 4 or 5 times.
That's a good point.
Eddie George did it a bunch.
He was an up and down runner too, George. More of like a Dickerson.
Yeah, Eddie George.
Like, you watch these highlights with Campbell and Bettis, they would lower the shoulder. Yeah, that's lowering the boom. I mean, they would hit and carry people.
The Edge, Edgar and James.
More of a cutter.
He had a lot of those.
Yeah.
I think Curtis Martin had quite a few. So there are still guys that do it, but I mean, that doing that now compared to doing it then is very different.
Do you think anybody, I know we're not supposed to.
That's
talking,
okay.
But do you think anybody
talk about whatever we want to talk about,
Earl
maybe.
Campbell, how to hold the football? We're watching a few highlights
here.
Do you think anybody told Walter Payton the right way to hold the football, the way that they play? You know, they did everything that you would learn technically to be, I say, wrong. You know what I mean? Not the right way.
You say carrying like a loaf of bread?
Earl carrying it out with one hand. I mean, not even a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You know, you'd protect a loaf of bread more. But Earl Campbell was so freaking strong.
You know why? Because they were good.
Of course. I get it.
Like, the only other guy that I could remember doing that was a defensive guy. That's Deion Sanders. He would hold the ball up.
I mean, he's every time we're watching these highlights, he's holding it the wrong way. And then yet he barreled through you. But no, it was awesome stuff. And I was listening to the other day. And
Stick'em was legal.
Yeah, that's true. I just wanted to know, I wanted context because you brought up all the carries. And I wanted to know I'm a good football fan, but I don't know the numbers like I know hockey.
Well, so. I can tell you those numbers are dropping off, though. So Le'Veon Bell has done it. He had 321 this year. The year before that, Ezekiel Elliott did it. He had 322. Before that, Arian Foster, 351. And Arian Foster was a guy who could handle that. He did it multiple times. But those guys are becoming more and more rare. Those 300 play. I mean, the league has changed.
And also, too,
people don't just hand off to the same guy.
Also, too, you're the lone back in a 3-wide receiver offense. A lot of these guys played with fullbacks their whole career. It was a two back set, pro set. That was it. You never put 3 receivers in. Le'Veon Bell, you watch, and I love Le'Veon Bell as a player. I'm sorry, we're talking football.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
You know,
we talk about it because Bill, you texted me during the show the other day.
You know what pisses me off about Le'Veon Bell?
What?
He'll get in a series and he'll get in a groove. 4 plays, he does this, and I'm tapping my head.
Earl Campbell
goes,
never did that.
And he's comfortable taking the helmet off, and he goes and he stands, gets some water. I mean, you got 3 of the best wide receivers on your team. That quarterback, good tight ends, like they should be more dependent upon you, and they're not. Like the style that you play with now tells these guys you don't have to be a great back.
Lineup changes for the Bruins tonight. What do you got, Billy?
Danton Heinen will be out of the lineup tonight.
Ooh.
Oh. All right.
Rookie Wall?
And Matt Grizzlick will be out of the lineup tonight. So, Danton Heinen's, he's struggled a bit lately. He has. He played under 13 minutes the last, couple of games?
Yeah, I think Hags wrote about this, too, just struggling. It's 1 point in the last 9 games.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday with Bruce Cassidy in his media conversation, and he hasn't been able to be regularly impactful. He's played 11-25, 12-10, and 13-09 his last 3 games. Normally, he's 14 to 16 minutes. He's played more than that.
Well, he shouldn't put so much time into the ping pong.
And
he beat me in ping pong.
He's just, is it the first year blues? Is it the time of year? Maybe. And so you're going to see Brian Gionta come into the lineup tonight. So your third line is going to be left to right, Tommy Wingles, David Backes, Brian Gionta. Now, Wingles played some center last game. Backes took some faceoffs and played some center too. They'll switch it up, but I think Gionta, they're going to want to keep situated on the right side, but I think Wingles will more or less see the left side right there. And on your back end, Nick Holden, who was acquired, you know, a couple days before trade deadline, he gets in for the first time. He's going to be paired on the left side. He's on the left with Brandon Carlo on the right. So Grizz, a little banged up, I think. It's, you know, but I also think that you've got a young player who's been awesome in Matt Grizzlick. He has. He has exceeded expectations and opened eyes significantly with his really good footwork and defending with pace and speed and everything. But I also think being a young guy, you're going to put Nick Holden on his strong side on the left side. So, you know, your lineup then stays the same. You still got Riley Nash in between Marchand and Pastrnak. Krejci's line with Nash and DeBrusk. The fourth line remains intact, the Corrali line. And then your D pairs, Holden, Carlo, Krug, Miller, which, you know, I like that too. And then Char, McAvoy.
Those are your Bruins lines for tonight. Your reaction to that and also your reaction to the trade deadline. Hold that thought, so.
Okay.
Okay? We'll get to it next.
I like what he said.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Zolak and Bertrand. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tony! Man. Good time. Oh, crap.
We're on the air.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So, Maz. I haven't seen Maz in 8 days.
I know.
It's my man.
I haven't seen him in 8 days. What's your thought that you've been holding on to for 5 minutes?
He starts going through some of these names and looking at the adjustments on the lines and names like Brian Gionta. I said it's unfortunate Bergeron's not completely healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have the health of everybody. Like, you're starting to put some names out there on some different lines and some defensive pairings and the level Tuukka's playing at that. You know, it's Chara, it's Bergeron, Krejci, you know, Marchand, McAvoy. It's you're getting excited because they've, you know, Nash, they didn't even mention Nash. They've got talent.
Yes,
they've assembled talent. And now just get everybody healthy and let's go on a run. Like, we haven't been able to say that in years. It's always been Bergeron, Marchand, Chara. Mm-hmm. Krejci's always been hurt. And then what kids do we have?
Krejci played every game last year. Let's not forget that. Let's just not forget that.
I understand that. But I'm saying when it's money time and it was playoffs, and we need that guy.
Yeah,
you need that high-end score.
Yeah, I know. And I know. And he actually, you know, come playoff time, he didn't. So I get what you're saying. No, I like it. I do. I like it. It's an arms race in the Atlantic Division. Holy smokes. I mean, you want to talk about GM stepping up and doing their job in the Atlantic. Top three teams. Granted, the rest of the Atlantic isn't that good. Florida's making a bit of a push. Keep them in mind. They may make the playoffs. But the top three teams,
yeah.
Damn it, did they do their job? Toronto gets Plekanec, where you say, okay, not the biggest move, but their centers are really good now. And even though Toronto, I'm not scared of their defense. They don't do that. They don't stifle you. But what they do is if they don't screw around with the puck and they actually defend a little bit, they get it to their forwards. That's what scares you. Tampa goes out and gets the one of the big fish of the entire trade deadline, defensive-wise, at least the biggest. You know, you assume that Erik Karlsson wasn't going to get traded, but McDonagh gets traded. And don't look past the addition of JT Miller. He's a guy that can help out Tampa an awful lot, too. But now Tampa, by the start of ten days from now, so they're going to have three top defensemen, Hedman, McDonagh, and this guy Anton Strahlman. You can always have one of them on the ice for every shift if you wanted to. And then the Bruins go out and get Rick Nash and do that deal and make a statement. And all of a sudden, you're like, great, Krejci's got that guy that hopefully he can gel with. And if not, there's tweaks you can do now that gives you a lot of flexibility. You couldn't move Ryan Spooner to certain spots like you can move Rick Nash to other spots.
How much do you think this actually helps them? Like,
I think it helps them.
Okay. I mean, do you look at them differently as, you know, I heard contender thrown out. Now you're a legitimate contender, which I do believe they are.
Yeah, I think so.
You think
so.
It's at least two rounds
with
these additions?
Sure hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, look, everybody's saying, well, if I the social media world, which I'm really trying to do a better job to stay off of more and more. It's hard, though, for what we do. But people are like, if they don't make it to the Eastern Final, it's a waste of a trade. Well, two of those three teams between Toronto, Tampa, and Boston are going to be gone at the end of the second round.
Yeah.
Just the way it is.
See, but and you know, the Patriots do this, too. Like, they'll get down in games, but they have the ability to rally. But they always, you always know at the end of the year they're going to be a 12, 13-win team. And that's why I asked Krug that. I said, it seems like, you know, this team gets down, but you say, you know, in past years they were cooked.
Probably, yeah.
Or on a back-to-back.
Much more so this year. They've been much more effective when they give up first goals, when they don't find their game. I think they're doing a lot of self-motivation this year. I think there's even more cohesiveness with this team. So they're having discussions amongst themselves. Coaches have done a nice
coaching
job of
pairings.
Understanding.
Not just the team, but like what you've seen Cassidy do and adjust as far as. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Good.
And so, yeah, I mean, I do think of them as legit. Now, you know, we sit here and we talk about, you know, Bergeron. One of the things about Bergeron, and not to be a buzzkill here, they're saying it's 2 weeks they're going to reevaluate. The problem with the 2 weeks, even if he's better, if it's healed a bit, he still hasn't skated. That's the difference. He's working out. I saw him yesterday. He was on his, had his walking boot and had a crutch with him, and he's coming off a workout. Mm-hmm. But he's not skating. Now, he is such a phenomenal, not just player, but athlete, conditioned, etc. I hope it doesn't take too long, but my guess is, my complete uneducated medical guess, that he's 3 to 4 weeks when it's all said and done. But just by the time he gets back up to speed and practice and everything.
I believe that would have cracked, yeah.
Yeah, hairline fracture, even, you know, especially in that area.
But they've given themselves, like Krug said, too, we got some games in hand, and you play well enough, you have the luxury
to
make sure he's right.
Hope so.
Instead of pushing.
Right. You know, but, okay, so you have your, here's the thing, by also messing around with that third line and being able to take out Hine, and this is where you have, this is where the beauty of what Don Sweeney did and his staff, by bringing in enough depth, not just, see, to me, I'm at first, the Wingles thing, I didn't think they were done. I think I was asked on, it was your show, or I don't remember, maybe it was Toucher and Rich, if I thought they were done on Monday morning, and it was Monday morning, it was TNR, and I said, I mean, nothing big. I could see him adding a little bit, just whatever. But the Wingles thing came in very late. Now, I don't know if the Wingles deal was all predicated on Bergeron's injury, because they knew about that by then, or if it was just, you know what, let's get one more type of player that can play. Right now, and I know we're all of 3 days into it, 4 days, it looks like a genius move.
Yeah.
Because Heinen struggles, Bergeron gets hurt.
The timing of it.
Right. So now you got to move Nash Reilly up, and now you have, you know, now you have a guy to put in there, and he is a Bruins-style player. I've known Tommy Wingles for years and years. He is a Bruins-style player. I think Bruins fans will come to really enjoy him. So, anyways, I do think they're legit. They have to figure out, they've got to get a few players going again. They got to get Heinen going again. They got to get Carlo to a consistent level. There's no question about it. Got to see what you can get out of Nick Holden. Big, long defenseman. Like his game. He's going to probably get some second unit power play time tonight, too.
All right. We have calls that are waiting, and we have some open lines as well. 617-779-0985. We'll continue talking Bruins with you and Billy Jaffe in 90 seconds.